The results from Tuesday's election, certainly a stark contrast for the Democratic Party compared to where it was 1 year ago when Donald Trump reassumed office. And now there's question about what happens from here going into next year's midterms. Joining us to provide a little bit of light to that is Stephen Green, political science professor from NC State University, a longtime friend of this program and WPTF as a whole when he appeared on Tom Kearney's program. Stephen, how are you?
Good. Good to be back with you.
Good to be back with you. So was this, in the case of New York City and Muammar Zamdani, was it simply a case of an exciting candidate winds up winning in the same way that Barack Obama was exciting in 2008 and Donald Trump was exciting 9 years ago?
I mean, certainly to a substantial degree. I mean, no matter what one thinks about Zamdani's issue positions, he's a talented and charismatic politician. And he's a talented and charismatic politician who was the Democrat in a Democratic city. So in that sense, of course he won.
Was the margin of victory surprising not only in that race, but also in Virginia in the gubernatorial race and the New Jersey gubernatorial race?
I'm not as sure in New York City. It's just such an idiosyncratic election they had there. But certainly the margin by which the Democratic gubernatorial candidates won in Virginia and New Jersey was definitely at the high side of what people were thinking might happen, and certainly a very positive sign for Democrats.
Was it also a response to Donald Trump? And, I mean, when you release a GIF 3 weeks ago of pouring diarrhea on thousands, if not millions, of people, should you expect anything less from what happened Tuesday, or am I overreading that?
I mean, who's to say exactly what it is about Donald Trump that various people are frustrated with at this point? You know, certainly, shall we say that little video is symptomatic, emblematic of his, I want to say, somewhat disdain for the opposition that certainly gets people riled up against him. But, you know, honestly, I think the biggest thing is people are frustrated with the state of the economy. And Democrats, from these gubernatorial candidates to Zamdani, have been very zealous about staying on message about the economy, about the cost of living. And certainly Donald Trump's tariff policies have not helped him with that at all.
I think there was also frustration with the policy, the leaders of the Democratic Party, because they're from another time in a lot of respects, a time when there was a contract with America when Newt Gingrich was around in the mid-1990s. And with so many young voters coming out in this election, and we saw what happened today with Nancy Pelosi announcing her resignation, do you think change in leadership for the Democratic Party is around the corner?
Tough question. I think if they're smart, it will be. But, you know, the truth is old politicians have a way of hanging on and keeping power long past the time when it's in the interest of their party. But certainly it seems fairly clear that having too many Democratic leaders who are, I hope it's not wrong to say, too old and out of touch has been a real problem for the party, and they absolutely need a new generation of young leadership. And so, again, regardless of what Zamdani had to say about being a Democratic socialist, again, his positions on the issues, by just being a vibrant, young, charismatic political figure, I think that went a long way in his favor.
In that city, of course, how they spread that is – how Democrats spread that is going to be the true question here, because there are some areas of the country that are not going to be quite as receptive.
Oh, to say the least. But I think what really helps Democrats from this going forward is that it gives them some very real momentum. It means that other young aspiring politicians who may think, maybe this seat is a reach for me, say, I'm going to go for it. 2026 is going to be a good year for Democrats, is what people will be thinking. So ambitious, charismatic politicians, the fundraisers who have money to spend, I think are going to go all in 2026 in a way that they would not if Democrats had lost these races or maybe even just squeaked by.
As you have known, this has become – the Republican Party has become Donald Trump's party now, and it has been for a good 9 years. They're going to be married to this for at least another 3 years and perhaps longer. Right now, he's the most unpopular that he's ever been, and do you sense that some Republicans who will have their seats coming up in whatever office it may be will start to divorce themselves a little bit from Donald Trump's policies, or is that even possible?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, and I certainly have seen a number of headlines over the past 2 days talking about how this really kind of makes Donald Trump a lame duck in a way that he had not been. But I think that very much remains to be seen. We have, you know, in terms of his personal political power to influence American politics, it is like nothing we have ever seen in modern times. And, you know, I will need some pretty strong evidence that that level of influence has decreased significantly before, you know, shall we say, I buy into that. Because right now, he still is absolutely the dominant figure in Republican politics.
And he doesn't care what anyone thinks unless they go against him. And
absolutely, 100%.
And you can look at, go ask Tom Tillis where that leads you, because ultimately leads to him leaving office. And either, it feels like you either go his way or you retire.
Yeah, and so again, I think the question may be, for some of these ambitious Republican politicians in 2026, are there any of them who decide that it is actually in their political interest to separate themselves from Donald Trump? Because as of the last few years, that has not been for any Republicans. And if we start seeing that in 2026, and again, it would be more in like blue states or something like Larry Hogan, who had been the Republican governor of Maryland and ran for Senate in that very blue state. But if you see more of that in states that are less blue, maybe even in purple-tending states and districts, if you see those Republicans willing to separate themselves from Donald Trump, that would be a very telling sign. But again, I think a very open question as to whether things will actually go that way.
Well, it's interesting how Michael Whatley will embrace that, too, as he enters his Senate fight against Roy Cooper.
Yeah, though, again, I think Michael Whatley can't really credibly divorce himself from Donald Trump. So, you know, there's certainly politicians that could, but for Whatley, you know, if it's, you know, he may have to go down with the ship if Donald Trump ends up being a drag in that way.
Yeah, it's fascinating to watch. This next year is going to be very interesting.
Absolutely. And this what happened just this election, I think, makes it even more so.
Yeah, I was not anticipating the margins. I mean, this felt like, you know, an election night from 1985 when we pretty much knew the results within a half hour of the network signing on.
Right. I mean, like, Democrats should have won. But again, the margins, the level, the breadth of wins across the country, it was just a very good night for Democrats. And honestly, in that sense, a bad night for Donald Trump.
And it was not a night where you burn the midnight oil waiting for results, because they came pretty quickly.
Which was nice.
Yes. And regardless of how you view it, it was certainly an early evening. Stephen, we thank you so much. Always enjoy hearing your input. Stephen Green, NC State political science professor. Good talking to you. We'll talk some more here as we approach the midterms. Take care.
Thanks.